do. Okay. If you cannot hear me, you're welcome to move forward. Then I will speak into the mic. Okay. So it is a pleasure to be here together with you. And I wanted to focus with you on Pesach. Before I start, let me wish you an invitation. I'm going to have to get used to this. Yeah, don't worry, you'll hear me. When I start teaching, you'll hear me. It's never been said that I can't be heard when I'm teaching. It just takes me a moment to get into it. I want to issue an invitation. Nishmat is well known for the Yoatzot Halacha, but that's not all that's at Nishmat. And sometimes I hear women say that learning that's available today is wonderful, but it's basically for the younger women who have the opportunity to sit and immerse themselves full time. So what I wish you to know is there's an extraordinary program which is really meant for everyone who's sitting here in the room. During the summer at Nishmat, there are these two pieces of literature at the back of the room. I think there might even be one more. This has the program for the summer. There's a three-week program every year during the month of July, and it's for beginners all the way to Limudei Kodesh, high school Limudei Kodesh teachers. There are different classes, but what's unique about this program is it's a chance to sit in the Beit Midrash and immerse yourself in learning b'chavruta, not just to hear passively, but not just what I call to be served a fish dinner, but to learn how to fish, to learn how to learn. And what's remarkable is that 3 weeks do make a huge difference. So for anyone who's been a couple of years away from learning, or for anyone who's never sat with Chavruta, I want to issue an invitation. You're welcome to go into our website, the Nishmat website, and to find out information about this. It's a three-week program, but there are people who've come for fewer than 3 weeks, and you are all cordially invited. Okay. Let's start learning together. I travel a great deal. I have the opportunity and the privilege to be a guest in many homes. And you learn and you see many things when you have the opportunity to be with different people. So one of the things that I have seen in Shabbos entertaining, and I have to say I'm grateful for everybody who hosts me. There are wonderful people that I've had a chance to meet in my travels around the world. But one of the things I sometimes see is that at a Shabbos table, there are the principal guests, there are the adults, and there are the important people. And sometimes you see the children placed in the secondary table off in the kitchen or at the edge of the dining room so that the children won't interfere. Now, I certainly understand doing that when you have guests. I certainly can understand doing that from time to time. But the point that I'd like to make today is about the role of the child in the Seder and how Halakha sees the centrality of the child. The child may be your own child. The child may be your own grandchild. How Halakha sees the nature of the Seder and the centrality of the child in the evening. There are five psukim in the Torah which are referred back to, both in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, as sources for the telling of the story on Leil HaSeder. Before we start reading, could I just see by show of hands, how many of you would understand this shiur if I switched into Hebrew? Okay. Can I see by a show of hands how many people would prefer if I translate Psukim into English? Okay. Fine. You'll see five psukim which refer to the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the night of which Halakha learns to refer to the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the night of the Seder. The first comes from Shmot Yudbet Pasuk Kafam, Vayeti Yomgu Alechem Benechem, Maha Avodah Hazot Lachem. And if your sons ask you, what is this service to you? V'amartem zevach pesach u'lashem, אשר פסח על בתי בני ישראל במצרים ונדפו את מצרים ואת בתינו הציל ויקוד העם וישתחוו. And you will answer, this is in context of the Korban Pesach. You come to Israel, there's a new reality. Your sons who are not connected as you were with, in a primary sense, with the experience of Yitziat Mitzrayim, will say to you, what is this service to you? And you will say, this is the Pesach sacrifice, because Hashem passed over our homes, when he smote the Egyptians, and our homes he saved, and the nation bowed and prostrated themselves. The second Pasuk comes in Shmot Yugimel Pasuk Chet. V'igadata levincha b'yom ha'hu le'mor v'abur zeh asa Hashem li v'tzeti mimitzrayim. You shall tell your son on that day, saying, because of this, this refers back, if you look at the context in the Torah, to the consumption of matzot, because of this did Hashem do for me when I came out of Egypt. The third is Shmot Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet. And if tomorrow your son asks you, what is this? If you were going to look up at the context, you would see that has to do with Peter Rechem Behema, with the either redeeming of the firstborn of an animal, or Arifat Peter Chamor, or the beheading of the donkey that you don't wish to redeem. If your son asks you tomorrow, saying, what is this? You will say to him, with a strong hand did God take us out of Egypt, the house of bondage. Now look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk is the one which in the Haggadah we associate with the Ben Chacham, with the wise son. Ki shalcha bincha machar lemor, mahedot hachukim v'mishpatim, asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. If your son asks you tomorrow, saying, what are the testimonies, the laws, the judgments which Hashem our God has commanded you, v'amarta levincha avadim hayinu faro v'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu Hashem misham, mimitzrayim yad chazaka. You will say to your son, we were enslaved to Paro in Egypt, and Hashem took us out of there with a strong hand. Now we get to the fifth pasuk. The fifth pasuk is in Shmot Yud-Gimel Pasuk Yimen. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am zachor et hayom hazeh asher yetzatem mimitzrayim mibeit avadim ki b'chozek yad hutzi Hashem etchem mizeh v'lo ye'achel chameit. Moshe said to the people, remember this day when you came out of Egypt, the house of bondage, because with a strong hand did Hashem take you out of here, and chameit shall not be eaten. Now when you look at these psukim, you see five psukim and four psukim and three psukim. You see, of these five psukim, four psukim that have something in common, and then you see of those four, three psukim that have something in common. The four that have something in common is what? You have to speak louder. That the narrative of Yitziat Mitzrayim is recounted within the context of the parent-child relationship. Of these four questions, there are three, of these four psukim, there are three that have something in common, and that is? You have to look in because I'm not going on until someone answers me. Yes. I can't hear. What? Ah, Chozek Yad is mentioned. That's interesting. Let's see how many times. Chozek Yad. Yad Chazaka. Chozek Yad. Very good. But there's something additional. Yes? The child initiates. So you have these five psukim which Chazal associate with recounting, with the mitzvah of Haggadah, with recounting the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. In four of the five cases, the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is recounted within the parent-child relationship. In three out of the four cases, it is the child who initiates. And for that reason, Rabbi Chiya in the Yerushalmi says, "Keneged arba abanim dibra Torah," which we quote in the Haggadah, that the Torah speaks representing four children. Why? Because there are four psukim which mention the recounting of the story within the parent-child relationship. And then there is that three psukim where the child initiates. The fifth pasuk, you will notice, is different from the other four. How? What? It's not within the parent-child relationship. And what else? Ladies, I'm here for you to work. What else is different about that fifth pasuk? It commands you, Zachor, to remember. Now, this is very important for you when you get to the Rosh, because you're going to see how the Rosh interprets this. Other Rishonim are going to interpret differently than the Rosh is going to interpret differently. So these psukim bring us to the first level of rabbinic exposition, which is Midrash Halacha, the Mechilta de Rashbi. Historically, before the Mishnah becomes formulated and written down, the halachot were associated not thematically as in the Mishnah, but rather with psukim, and they appear in the Midrash Halacha. So in the Mechilta de Rashbi, source number 2, Shmot Yud Gimel Pasukim, you read, Vayomer Moshe el ha'am zachor et hayom hazeh. Moshe said to the people, remember this day. Now the Mechilta is going to ask a question. Miklal shenemar vayakishalcha bincha machar lemor yachol imishalcha ata magidlo v'im lav iata magidlo. Says the Mechilta, before it's going to relate to that pasuk that it began with, from the fact that it says, if your son asks you tomorrow, perhaps if your son asks you, then what? You have a mitzvah to tell him. But if he doesn't ask you, you don't have a mitzvah to tell him. Therefore, we have which pasuk? Vihigadita levincha. You shall tell your son even if he doesn't ask you. Talmud lomar vihigadita levincha. Afapisha eino shoalcha. And then, Chazal are going to go on and ask another question. What's the other question going to be? Think, don't look. That what happens if what? Is there such a situation when one is sitting at a Seder and one's child is not there? Or is there such a situation when one does not have children? And if so, what's the mitzvah going to be? So then we hear, Ein li ela bizman sheyesh lo ben. This halacha would seem to apply only when one has a son. Beino levein atzmo, beino levein acherim minayin. Between one and oneself, what happens if one is marooned on an island somewhere? Does one still have a mitzvah of verbalizing the story? The answer is yes. Between one and oneself, between one and someone else, minayin, how do we know? Talmud omar vayomer Moshe ha'am zachor et ayom hazeh asher yitzata mimitzrayim. That's why we have that fifth pasuk. And here in the Mechilta, the understanding of Zachor is apparently that the way you're going to properly remember is by verbalization. So the Mechilta comes and tells us, one should tell the story to one's son. One should respond to the son's question. If the son doesn't ask, we still tell him. If one doesn't have a child, or if no one else is with us, we still recount the story. Now we go on to the next level, halachically, rabbinically, and we, within Chazal, and we go to Mishnah and Pesachim, which formulates for us the question. Source 3, Pesachim Perek Yud Mishnah Dalid, Mazgulo Kosheni V'tan Habo Ben Shoel Aviv. The Mishnah locates the question within the Seder and says, we blend for him the second cup. We speak of blending the wine because their wine was strong and could not be drunk before it was blended. So we blend for him the second cup. And for the Baal HaSeder, and here the son asks his father, "V'im ein dat v'ben aviv melamdo manish tanah halayla zeh mikol halaylot." And if the son does not have the knowledge to ask, then we teach him, how is this night different than all other nights? And then you're going to see four questions here, which are, three of them are identical to questions that we ask. Rambam holds that when the Mikdash is rebuilt, we will not have four questions, we'll have five questions. In other words, we'll have these questions, and we will integrate as well the question that we ask. אביב למדו מה נשתנה הלילה הזה מכל הלילות, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה, הלילה הזה כולו מצה, because on all nights we eat חמץ ומצה, this night just מצה, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים שאר ירקות, הלילה הזה מרור, on all nights we eat other vegetables, this night we eat מרור, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים בשר, צלי, שלוק ומבושל, on other nights we eat meat, which is צלי, which is grilled, Shalul, which is boiled, umavushal, which is cooked. The difference between shaluk and mavushal is that shaluk is in water and mavushal can be in anything else. Halayla hazeh kulo tzali, this night we only eat broiled, grilled meat. Shavchal halayot anu matbilim pa'am achat, halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. All nights we dip one time, tonight we dip at two points during the course of the meal. It doesn't mean that they only dipped one time, it means that they dipped at one point in the meal. Forks were created, I actually don't remember when, but somewhere near the Middle Ages. Prior to the creation of the fork, the way in which one would eat would be in either of two ways. One would either, if the food was something that could be drunk, one might drink it, or one might lift up the food together with bread. And alternately, one would pick up the food, if the food was dry, with one's hand. And that's why Mayim Achronim was so very important. So it doesn't mean that they would dip one time. It's that the initial first course would be consumed by dipping, but there would be dipping at one point during the meal, and at this point there is dipping at two points during the meal. The question that's missing here is mesubin. Do you know why? They always ate mesubin. When they had a festive meal, it was always mesubin. That was not different. That was not unique to the night of Pesach. Mesubin that we do has us sitting in a very uncomfortable position. You're sitting at the table like this, and there you are wearing a new garment, and you're trying not to spill the wine, or you're having the zecher and the mikdash kehillel, which is dripping with wine, and you're trying to keep yourself clean. It's actually when they were sitting on the floor, and more of us in Israel are doing this today. We're sitting on rugs with cushions as they sat for the first part of the Seder before we get to Shulchan Aruch. And then Mesubin is a very logical thing to do. This has come into fashion in recent years, and I think it's something which is truly marvelous, because then you realize you're not at the table in order to eat. You're sitting there in order to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The question of Mesubin comes in after the Churban. Not that after the Churban they stopped being Mesubin, but they needed an additional question. When one was sitting at a festive meal, one would still be Mesubin. At an ordinary meal, one might eat not when people are sitting together. They didn't have the kind of tables we had. They had, a king had a table, had a large table. People in more ordinary homes did not necessarily have a table of the sort that we have, and therefore they would sit with cushions and rugs. Be that as it may, the question of Tzli Shaluk Umuvushal was, of course, removed after the Churban, unfortunately, Meherah Yibaneh HaMikdash, and we'll reinstitute that question, and we'll all be able to say, Shebchal HaLeilot, Anu Ochlim Tzli Shaluk Umuvushal, HaLeilah HaZek Kulav Tzali. And in place we have Mesubim. Now go on to the Gemara, which is source 4. The Gemara wants to know what happens if the child doesn't ask. Tanu Rabbanan, Chacham Bno, Sho'alo. The Gemara says if his son is wise, his son asks. Ve'im Eino Chacham, Ishto Sho'alto. And if the son is not wise, then the wife asks. Ve'im Lav, and if she doesn't ask, it doesn't say if she's not wise, it says if she doesn't ask. Hu Sho'el La'atzmo. Then a person asks himself, "V'afilu shnei tamidei chachamim sheyodim b'ilchot haPesach sho'alim ze et ze." And even if two tamidei chachamim who are knowledgeable in all the laws of Pesach, you might think that what they're going to do this night is have a halachic discussion. Nevertheless, they must ask each other the questions regarding the story. In other words, this night is not about a halachic discussion. What this night is about the neshama understanding the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim and the core narrative of the Jewish people being transmitted from one generation to another. And therefore, even Talmidei Chachamim need to ask themselves. Now, the importance of the child's question is so central to the Seder that Chazal instituted a series of what I would call contrived devices in order to provoke the child to ask. Take a look. Let's start out in source number 5, the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Tet Amud Aleph. אמרו עליו הרב עקיבא שהיה מחלי כליות ואגוזים לתינוקות בערב פסח כדי שלא ישנו וישאלו. It was said regarding Rabbi Akiva that on Erev Pesach, and I am intentionally not translating the words Erev Pesach, everyone of course knows, but I have a reason that I'm not translating. It was said regarding Rabbi Akiva that on Erev Pesach he would give out roasted seeds, this is before the, or roasted grains, roasted grains and nuts to tinokot means children, tinokot shel beit rabban, to children on Erev Pesach, so that they would not sleep and they would ask. Now what I'd like you to tell me, and the acoustics here are such that you're going to have to speak very loudly for me to hear you. What I would like you to tell me is, when and where do you think Rabbi Akiva is doing this? Rabbi Akiva is giving out seeds, roasted nuts, nuts and roasted grains, Pesachik of course, on Erev Pesach, on Arvei Pesachim, to the children so that they would not sleep and they would ask. When do you think Rabbi Akiva is doing this and where? You're going to have to translate this into our terms in order to understand Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva doing?
Mincha.
Ah, so I don't know if it's a mincha. What I'm hearing is Erev Pesach ends when you light candles. So Rabbi Akiva must have been doing this earlier. Rabbi Akiva must have been doing this earlier. Ah, so now I hear Rabbi Akiva is doing this at the Seder. In order to explain, that's the opinion that Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the important Rishonim, Nosei Kelim on the Rambam has. Rabbeinu Manoach says he was doing this at the Seder. And if so, translate into our terms what nuts and roasted grains are. What is it?
Appetizer.
No, it's not an appetizer. Ladies, ladies, it's dessert. It's dessert. And Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbeinu Manoach, what he was seeking to do was to provoke a question of the children. Rabbi Akiva comes home from shul, and Rabbanit Akiva, Rachel, has prepared a chocolate cake for dessert, and she's put it off to the side. And what does Rabbi Akiva come and do? He tastes the dessert, and he starts slicing it up and giving it out to the children before the meals. That's what the roasted grains and the nuts are. That's what you eat at the end of the meal. And therefore, what's Rabbi Akiva seeking to do? He's seeking to provoke a question by the child. Why is this night different from all other nights? That reading, Kol HaKavod, comes from Rabbeinu Manoach and from our friend who's sitting here. Anyone? Yes. That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. I'm not going to address it right now, but I believe the answer is yes. Because he has a mitzvah, v'higadita levincha. I've asked myself that question as well. The question was, Rabbi Akiva, who was away in Beit Midrash for so many years, did he come home for Yantif, for Leil HaSeder? And my assumption, it's not mentioned within the Gemara, but my assumption is that he presumably did. But he didn't bring his place home until after he had finished learning. But I assume he had come home. Now, how else can you understand this? If you don't understand him as doing this in his home, where would you understand him as doing this? In shul. And if he's doing this in shul, he's like the candy man in shul. We call this in Hebrew, hadod shel hasukariyot, the candy man in shul. And if Rabbi Akiva is the candy man in shul, what's he attempting to do? But they're not supposed to ask in shul, they're supposed to ask at home. It's obvious what Rabbi Akiva is attempting to do is to keep the children alert, awake, as distinct from our sugar-laden desserts. This nuts have protein. He's going to get the children home from shul. They're going to be awake. They're going to be alert. They're going to be excited. No child is going to miss out on the opportunity to go to shul because Rabbi Akiva is giving out nuts and roasted grains. And when is that ever done in shul? So all the children are excited. All the children are coming to shul. And therefore, they're going to come home. Rabbi Akiva sees his role as bringing the children home from shul, excited, happy, and ready to participate. We go on. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chotfin Matzot B'Leil Pesachim B'Shvil Tinokot Shelo Yishno. Rabbi Eliezer says, Chotfin literally means we grab matzot on Leil Pesach for the sake of the children so that they not sleep. Now, grabbing matzot is explained in very different ways by the Rashbam, and by the Rambam. If you look at source number 6, Chotvin Matzot, Rashbam says, Magbihin et ha-ka'ara b'shvil tinokot she'ishalu. We lift the Seder plate for the sake of the children so that they will ask. I'll explain this a little later because I want to read the Gemara first. But Rashbam goes on and says, Ve'itim farshi chotvin matzah ochli maher. And there are those who explain, chotvin matzah, we grab matzah, meaning we eat quickly. In other words, the timing of this evening, and this is something that I wish to emphasize to you, is not built around the adults who are sitting around the table. The timing of Leil HaSeder is built around the children who are sitting at the table. And therefore, even though the adults are capable of extensive discourse, the children might meanwhile become bored and go to sleep. And therefore, what does one do at Leil HaSeder? You build Leil HaSeder, Chotfin Matzot, around the children and keeping the children awake and keeping the children interested and engaged, depending upon the age of the child, that will be different. Now, as distinct from that, if you look at Rambam, let's see, Rambam is on the next page. If you look at Rambam, source 13, Halacha Gimel, he says as follows, V'tzarich la'asot shinui b'alayla hazeh kedei she'yiru habanim v'yishalom. We need to make a change this evening so the children will see and ask. V'yomgu manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot ad she'yashiv lahem v'yomar lahem kach v'kach ira kach v'kach haya. So the children will ask, how is this night different? Until he answers, this and this occurred, this and this was. V'chaytzat m'shaneh. How does a person make a change? Now Rambam is going to count several changes. Mechalek lahem klayot ve'egozim. We distribute roasted grains and nuts. Va'okrim hashulchan milifnehem. Kodem sheyishalo. I'm going to leave that until we get to the Gemara. And then he says, v'chotfin matzah ze miyad ze. V'chayotzei v'advarim ha'ilu. And we grab matzah, one person from the next. Can I have a volunteer come up here, please? Can someone please come up here? Anyone, please? Don't worry, you're not going to get into trouble by coming up. I just need someone to come up here. Good, thank you. Okay. Now, assuming we are the two parents at the Seder. What's your name, please?
Esther.
Esther is holding the matzah. And don't hold too tightly or I won't be able to do this. And I come, and then Esther
grabs it back.
And then I grab it back. Thank you very much. That's Rambam's reading. Rambam's reading is not that we eat quickly, but what are we doing in order to make the children ask? We're putting on a skit of some sort. We're doing something. I want you to understand this is halakha. Rambam is saying v'chayotzei b'dvarim ha'elu means in other things like this. In other words, if I've already done that, and that's not going to provoke a question of my child, or if I try something that Rabbi Akiva did that was successful in his house, but it's not provoking my child, I need to find something different that's going to provoke my child to question. Okay, go back to the first page. We also read in source number 9, פסחים קופטת ועמוד בית, למה אוכרים את השולחן, אמרי דבי רביאני, כדי שיכירו תינוקות וישנו. Now we eat on a large table, but they used to eat, they used to sit mesubim on rugs on the floor, and each person would have their own very small table, like a little tray on legs. And what would they do? They would set the tables, bring it out for everyone, and then, in order to provoke the child to question, they would start taking away the table before they eat. And then what does the child do? They understand how their meals were conducted. These little tables were brought out from the kitchen. They were put before everyone in the main room of the home. The main room of the home is the living room, it's the bedroom, it's the one large room that everyone is conducting their lives in. And they would bring out the table, set them up. And remember, the child has been asking all day, can I eat matzah, can I eat matzah, when can I eat matzah? And his mother has been saying, wait, tonight you're going to have the matzah. And then we set the table and we take the table away. Why do we do this? In order to provoke the child's question. And the point that I'm trying to make in this section of the shiur, and we're going to move on to the next in just a moment, but the point that I'm trying to make is that Chazal established for us devices through which we can engage the mind of the child and provoke the child to question. We can provoke the child to question, and kayotze badverim ha'elu, one year in our house, I set the table meticulously. You know, on Pesach, you're supposed to use your finest china. We're not people of Gashmiut, but on Pesach, the table is supposed to look malchustic, and you should take out the finest of what you have. So I set the whole table, as I do every year, as beautifully as I was capable. And then that year, I started collecting the plates, the forks, the spoons before the Seder began. What did my children do? Now, after having seen these examples, and Rambam says, "Kayotze b'dvarim ha'elu," and other things like this, which means these are simply illustrations of what you should do. This is not necessarily what you should do. These are the types of things that will provoke the child to question, and every parent, grandparent, needs to give thought to what is it that will engage my child. And what will engage the neighbor's child is irrelevant. What engaged Rabbi Akiva's child is irrelevant. What will engage my child is relevant, Leil HaSeder. Now we go on to two situations in the Gemara, one of which is more comprehensible than the other, that both illustrate the dispensing with the child's question. Take a look at source number... I skipped one which was really good. I have to go back and read it. Look at source number 5. We stopped for me to explain Chotfin Matzot. We're in the middle of it. Tanya Abuela Varab Yakiva, Miyamav Noamar, Higia Eit Lamod Bebeit HaMidrash, Chutz Me'arvei Psachim Ve'erev Yom HaKippurim, Ve'arvei Psachim Bistvir Tinokot Kedei Shelo Yishnu. It was told regarding Rabbi Akiva that he never told the men to stand up in the Beit Midrash. To stand up means to stand up in order to leave, except for 2 days a year, on Erev Pesach and on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Pesach, for the sake of the children, that they should not sleep. So they should not sleep and they would ask. Obviously, Erev Yom Kippur, he's sending people home to have the Suda Mafseket so they can fast well. Don't spend your time penitentially in the Beit Midrash or learning in the Beit Midrash now. Go home and eat. But on Erev Pesach, he would send the husbands home in order that the children should not sleep and they would then be able to ask. Now this is a machloket between Rashbam and Tosfot. Rashban in source number 7 says, why was he sending the children, the husbands home? Kedei sheyashnu et hatinokot. So they would put, we would say in Hebrew today, sheyashkivu et hatinokot. Kedei sheyashnu et hatinokot. So they would put the children to sleep by yom during the day and they wouldn't sleep at night. Tosfot comes and asks such a sweet question. I think everyone in this room could probably answer Tosfot. I don't know how this got by Tosfot's wives. Tosfot says, I don't understand what Rashbam is saying. He's saying Rabbi Akiva sent them home early on Erev Pesach, meaning on the day of Pesach, in the morning, so they would put the children to sleep, so the children would then be awake at night. I don't understand. The children can't go to sleep without their fathers. This is something that gives me a chuckle every year, because as the mother of children who are now grown and as the grandmother of grandchildren, the answer is yes, the husband had better be home to put the children to sleep because the wife is so busy doing all those things that are needed in order to prepare for the Seder that if the husband doesn't put the children to sleep, then what's going to be with the children at night? And this is an important halacha, and if anyone, it's an important halacha to share with your spouse. That the tafkid is to ensure that that child gets to the Seder rested and ready to participate throughout the whole night. Now we go on to those two stories I mentioned that dispense with the Manishtana. Look at source number 9. Sachim Kuf Tevav Amud Bet. Lama ukin et hashulchan. This is the last device that was mentioned. Removing the table. We today cannot remove the table from the room, but when they had those little tables, they would remove them. Amrei devei rabbianai kadesh yakiru tinokot v'yishalu, so that the children will recognize and they will ask. Now we get to our story. Abaye havei yativ kamei derava. The Rabbah. Abaye was sitting before Rabbah. Rabbah was Abaye's uncle. Abaye was orphaned as a very young child, perhaps as a baby, and he was raised by his uncle Rabbah, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Pumbedita. So Abaye was sitting before Rabbah. Chazad kamadle tacha mikameh. He saw that they were removing the table from before him. Amar lehu, adai lo ka'achlinan, atu kama'akei tacha mikameh. He said, we still haven't eaten. Why are you taking the table away from in front of me? Amar le Rabbah p'tartan milomar manishtana. Rabbah said, you have freed us, you have exempted us from the manishtana. Do you see the situation? Before the at the beginning of the Seder, Rabbah tells whoever is serving, or Rabbah does it himself, takes the table away from before little Abaye, who has been waiting to eat that matzah. He's waiting with such excitement to taste the good things of the Seder. Rabbah takes the table away. What does Abaye say? We still haven't eaten. Why are you taking my table away? What does Rabbah say triumphantly? Now we don't have to say the Manishtana. Do you have any question here? I'm sorry, I'm used to interacting in this setting of being up here like a Dayan in the Beit Din, is not conducive to question and answer. The issue here is the question that has been asked has nothing to do with the substance of the Seder. It has to do simply with this artificial device, a contrived device, which has nothing to do with any of the mitzvot. So you have here a very interesting machloket Rashbam Tosfot. Look at source number 10, Rashbam. Rashbam says, "Dibur matzil p'tar tan milomar manishtana." The Tanya l'kaman chacham beno shalo, ve'im lav shoel hu latzmo manishtana. V'chevan she'shalu lanu manishtana, einan tzrichim lomar manishtana, ela la'ashiv al dvarav lefi she'nishtabadu v'mitzrayim anu osim kol hadvarim ha'elu. Since the child has asked Manishtana, what Manishtana has he asked? Manishtana, this evening that you're taking my table away, we no longer have to ask Manishtana, but we have to answer the child's question. That's what Rashbam says. Tosfot, on the other hand, number 11 says, Klomar mitoch kach yavo lishol bishar dvagim. Tosfot says, no. When you give a young child, think of a 2.5-year-old who asks why all the time. You give him a good answer, and what happens? He then asks why again. The better the answer, the more you encourage him to keep asking. So Tosfot says it's not that you can content yourself with the answer to why are you removing the table, but rather from this question you have provoked him to start questioning. You have provoked the child to take a part in the Seder. So often the child is at the margins and we cater to the adults. It should not be so. Certainly it may not be so on Leil Pesach. So that the child will ask regarding other things. Say Tosfot. The fact that little Abaye asked why are we removing the table, that wasn't his final question. Little Abaye, who grew up to be one of Gedolei Hador, he heard an answer, and then he obviously asked another question, and he heard an answer. And what you need to do is you need to have your child cover all the bases of matzah, chametu matzah, maror, matbilim. Only then can you dispense with the manishtana. Now, I personally find Rashbam's shita more compelling than Tosfot. And the reason I find Rashbam's shita so compelling is that the child has asked whatever he has asked. And what Rashbam is saying is that the point of this evening is for you to build the bridge between where your child is and between the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So even if the child has asked simply, why are you removing the table? The answer needs to be, you've asked the marvelous question. We've removed the table, just as we're going to make many changes this evening, and pay attention, because you will see many changes. We have done so because this evening is a special evening. This evening is the most special evening of the year, and this evening is the evening in which I want to tell you a story which my father told me, and my mother told me. And now tonight I'm going to tell you this story, and that is why we are making all these changes. In other words, what Rashbam is saying is you don't need the fixed formula. You know, we struggle all the time within Judaism between question of fixed formula and religious authenticity. Rabbi Eliezer says in Brachot, I think it's Rabbi Eliezer, Kol ha'oset filato keva ein filato rachamim v'tachminim. Once you follow a fixed formula for prayer, you cease to have authentic beseeching. So we struggle with this all the time. What Rashbam is saying is that we want authenticity, and we want to cater to the child. And once the child has asked the question, we have the ability to engage the child. And we engage the child by saying to the child, you have asked a marvelous question. And I want you to keep asking questions, because you're going to keep seeing things that are different. And you know why we have this whole evening? You are the important person this evening. This evening, we're going to tell you a story that was told to us by our parents and grandparents. And now we're going to pass this story on to you. That's the first of the two stories in the Gemara. The second is in source 12. Matchil bignut, mesayim b'shevach, mai bignut, rav amar, mitchila, this is the Gemara in Kuf Tet Zayin, mitchila uvdei avodat gilulim hayu avoteinu, Shmuel amar, avadim hayinu. Now the story begins. Amar lei Rav Nachman ledaru avdei. Rav Nachman said to his servant, Daru. Daru is the name of his servant. Avda de mefik le mare le chirut, v'yihiv le kaspa udahava, mai ba'i le mei marle. A servant whose master frees him and gives him abundantly silver and gold, what does the servant have to say to him? Amarle, ba'i le oduye, that should be one word, ule shaboche. The servant said back to Rav Nachman, the servant needs to thank and to praise. אמר לי פטרטן מלומר מה נשתנה. פתח ואמר, עבדים היינו. Rav Nachman said, you have exempted us from saying the man ishtana, and Rav Nachman began saying, avadim hayinu. Now this is different, this is totally different, because the one who asked the question is the Baal HaSeder. It's not a child, it's Rav Nachman himself. And the person who answers is the servant Daru. I'm not sure that Daru was not an Evet Knani. I'm not sure that he was Jewish at all. Why does Rav Nachman do the questioning? If you look at the Rambam in source 13, I think the Chinuch is going to pick up on this story differently, but the Rambam says in Halacha Beit, mitzvah lehodi alabanim v'afilu lo sha'alu sh'nemar v'igadta levincha. It's a mitzvah to tell the children, even if they didn't ask, as it says, that fourth pasuk, v'igadta levincha. According to the intellect of the child, the father teaches him. Im ketzad, im haya katano tipesh, omer lo bni, kulanu hayinu avadim, kamo shifchazo o eved ze b'mitzrayim, ubalayla hazeh padal tanu hakadosh baruch hu vayotzienu l'cheirut. If the child is very young, or if the child is not bright, then what do? We say to him, we were all enslaved like this servant. And that's obviously how he's understanding the Rav Nachman story. That the child was too young or not bright, or we can even add, there was no child at the Seder. And therefore, Rav Nachman asked the question of the servant. But I think the Chinuch will be understanding it differently. Now, if you look at 14, you'll see the Rambam in Hilchot Chametz Matzah Perek Chet Halacha Beit says as follows: Umozgin lo hakos hasheni v'kan habein shoel. We pour the second cup. We blend the second cup of wine, and this is where the child asks. Va'omer hakorei manishtana halayla hazeh mitchol halaylo. And the reader says, manishtana halayla hazeh mitchol halaylo. You know, the v'chule means, etc. means the text that we know. In other words, there's a division of labor. The child asks a spontaneous question. What questions does he ask? For them, the wine was the beverage that they would have with the meal. So this is equivalent to us pouring a second cup of juice or a second cup of soda before the meal. And everyone knows, what is the mother going to say when the child tries to take a second cup of soda before the meal? Wait for the soup, wait for the chicken, and then you'll be able to have a second cup, juice as well. So we're provoking the child to ask a spontaneous question, his own question. But Rambam says the reader reads Manishtana. In other words, Rambam is not willing to forego the text of the Manishtana. And I would say that if so, Manishtana in the Rambam is not a question, but it's an exclamation. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh. How different is this night? In other words, you're saying to the child, kol hakavod to your question, and you know that's not the only question, because how different is this night from all other nights? Now, if you look at Shibalei Haleket 16, Rabbi Zacharia Harofe in Italy wrote as follows. These are all Rishonim. These are only the early medieval authorities. Peresh Rabbeinu Yeshaya Zatzal Zenitkan Avor Mi She'ein Lo Mi She'yishal She'ilu Haya Lo Ben Chacham She'ya Shoel Lo Hayu Tzrichim Le'omro. Rabbi Yeshaya Detrani taught. This was established for he who has no one to ask. What does this refer to? Manishtana. Manishtana was established for those unfortunate souls who don't have an inquisitive child or inquisitive person at the Seder. So you need then to have a formulated question. This was established for he who does not have whom to ask. Who to ask. She'ilu haya lo ben chacham, because if one had a wise son who would ask, we wouldn't need to say the Manishtana. And we read in 17 in Maharil. Maharil was the preeminent Marie Segal was the preeminent chacham in Germany around the 14th century. So Maharil, we read, Uchshabeno ha'isha sho'elet, ein tzarich lomar manishtana, ela matchil avadim. And when the son or the woman asks, we don't need the manishtana, we begin avadim. In other words, we don't want a chatzitza between the question and between the answer. If the child asks a question, we don't want to tell the child, as teachers will sometimes do in class, I think it's a terrible thing. When the child is full of curiosity, he's inquisitive, you say, let's get back to the prescribed text. We don't do that. If the child asks a question, what do? We begin answering. And we read in Minhagei Maharil, source 18, V'heid Mari Segal al Chamiv. It's very sweet. Pay attention. V'heid Mari Segal al Chamiv, Maharar Moshe Katz, Pam achat sha'alto bito, Abba, lama higbata haka'ara? V'itchil avadim hayinu v'lo amar ma nishtana. Mari Segal said about his father-in-law, Maharar Moshe Katz, that his father-in-law, Maharar Moshe Katz, was once asked by Maharar Moshe Katz's little daughter. Who's that? Maharil is speaking about his father-in-law. And he says his father-in-law's little daughter. That's either his wife or his sister-in-law. His father-in-law's little daughter once asked him, Abba, why have you lifted up the Seder plate? Lifting up the Seder plate, by the time you get to 14th century Germany, where you have these massive tables, takes the place of removing the table. You can't remove the table. But what you can do is remove the Seder plate. You know, when we say we lift up the Seder plate, why are we lifting up the Seder plate? The answer is we're lifting it up in order to remove it, in order to provoke the child's question. And that's just one illustration of what you can do in order to provoke the child's question. So Maharar Moshe Katz's daughter, little daughter, said, Abba, why are you lifting up the Seder plate? And what did Maharar Moshe Katz do? He skipped the Manishtana, and that's very important. It's a message to everyone who's around. It's a message to everyone who's around that that little girl is the point of the evening. And therefore, if she has asked her own Manishtana, I need to answer her question. And I need to find a way to relate the narrative which I wish to tell to where she is. It's not that that little girl has to move herself to where I am, but rather I need to bring my story over to where that little child is. And therefore, I will tell that child, I want to answer your question. And I'm going to answer your question with a very long story. Children love stories. I still remember when I was in second grade, I had a teacher, I remember his name, who would draw a snake on the board, a big, big snake, an S, at the beginning of class. He was a marvelous raconteur, and each time any of us misbehaved, he would erase a little bit of that snake. And that was the length of the story he was going to tell. If nothing was erased, he was going to tell a long story towards the end of class. And if it was all erased, we'd keep learning and there would be no story. So we behaved very, very well in that class because we wanted a story. Children love stories. And we tell this child, we have a long story to tell you. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. It's not someone else's story. Do you understand what's happening here? The story becomes not something which is external. Everybody learns things. You learn things in school. And too often, parents give over to school the job of educating their children. But on Leil HaSeder, it becomes imperative for the parent to educate their child, for the grandparent to educate their grandchild. And this is not, it doesn't matter that the teachers know the story also. It's different when the parent says, this is the most important story to me. This is the story that my father told me. And now I'm going to tell you this story. We go on to source 19, Tshuvot HaRosh, and you need to recall those five psukim and the fifth pasuk. The Rosh says, ששאלת למה אין מברכים על סיפור ההגדה. We know that when we have a mitzvah, we always recite a bracha on the mitzvah. How come we don't have asher kidshanu mitzvotav tzivanu al mitzvat hagadah? הרבה דברים ציווה הקדוש ברוך הוא לעשות זכר ליציאת מצרים ואין לנו מברכים עליהם כגון הפרשת בכורות. We have many mitzvot whose importance is to cause us to remember יציאת מצרים, and we do not say the bracha אשר קידשנו וצלתה וציוונו על מצוות זכירת יציאת מצרים, שאין צריך להזכיר בהפרשת בכורות שאנו עושים אותו זכר יציאת מצרים, אלא שציווה הקדוש ברוך הוא לעשות המעשה ומתוך כך אנו זוכרים יציאת מצרים. Okay, and now we're up to the important words. Up until now the Rosh has said that we have a lot of mitzvot which commemorate Yitziat Mitzrayim. We don't say the bracha asher kidshanu v'tzlatav v'tzivanu al yitziat, al zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. For instance, when we separate the firstborn of animals, we say asher kidshanu v'tzlatav v'tzivanu al hafrashat b'chorot or al pidyon b'chorot. We don't say al zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Now we get to the, because we do it and then we automatically remember. And then he goes on and says, V'lav davka hagadah b'peh. He says, the mitzvah of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is not necessarily mida oraita, verbalizing it. Ela im yish'al mefarshim lo. But if the child asks, we specify to him, V'zehu hagadah l'tzad shezochim Yitziat Mitzrayim. This is the mitzvah of Haggadah beside remembering. In other words, what the Rosh is doing is saying, there are five psukim. The only pasuk that doesn't mention a child doesn't mention telling. It mentions zochoret hayom hazeh, remember. How do we remember? We don't need to verbalize in order to remember. When do we need to verbalize? When? If the child asks. Now, Rabbi Yerucham Perla was a chacham who lived in Yerushalayim in the early part of the 20th century, and he wrote a marvelous and lengthy work on Sefer HaMitzvot of Rav Sadia Gaon, and Rabbi Yerucham Perla in that relates to this tshuva of the Rosh, and he says as follows, source 20, Ela vadai ikar hamitzvah midoraita eino ela lashiv al sheilat habein bavad. It is certainly the essence of the mitzvah midoraita. The essence is to respond to the child's question. Ela midrabanan ikar chiyuv l'saper yitzet mitzrayim gam b'delei kasheila. But midrabanan, there is a mitzvah of telling even if the child does not ask. But Mida Oraita, says the Rabbi Yerucham Perla, based upon the Rosh, the only mitzvah Mida Oraita on Leil HaSeder is to tell the story if the child asks. If the child doesn't ask, you don't have a mitzvah Mida Oraita. You do have a mitzvah, it's Mida Rabbanan. And therefore he goes on, V'lazehu efen ellipsis, V'lazehu shetiknu kol hashinuyim, kedei sheyikirem haben v'yish'al, da'al yidei zeh tiyeh ha-mitzvah midoraita. It's a marvelous shita. He's saying that if you can get the child to ask, he changes your mitzvah from a drabanan to a doraita. He certainly deserves that bicycle if he asks for a bicycle or whatever else he asks for, because that child has transformed your mitzvah of Haggadah from a drabanan, if he doesn't ask, to a doraita, if he does ask. The opposite shita we find in number 21, Sefer HaChinuch. And I think Sefer HaChinuch in part is playing off the Rav Nachman story in the Gemara. He says as follows, L'saper b'inyan yitziat mitzrayim b'leil 15 b'nisan, kol echad lefi tzachut lishono, ulehalel ulshabeach Hashem al kol hanisim sh'asa lanu sham, sh'ne'emar v'igadet halavincha v'chulei. We must tell the story of yitziat mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, each person according to his own articulacy. Now the Haggadah existed by the time of the Chinuch. The Chinuch is saying that the Haggadah is not enough. Each person must tell the story according to his capability. ולהלל ולשבח השם על כל הניסים שעשה לנו שם שנאמר והגדת לבנך. And to praise God, in the course of telling the stories, it says והגדת לבנך. ומה שאמרך כתוב לבנך, לאו דווקא בנו, אלא אפילו עם כל בריאה. Now the chinuch is the opposite of the rosh. The chinuch says, when the Torah says והגדת לבנך, it doesn't mean your son only, it means anyone. ועניין המצווה שיזכור הניסים והעניינים שערעו לנו במצרים, ביציאת מצרים, ואיך לקח הקל התברך נקמתנו מהם, ואפילו בינו לבין עצמו, אם אין שם אחרים, חייב להוציא הדברים מפיו כדי שיתעורר ליבו בדבר. The chinuch says as follows. The son, the Torah tells us, tell your son. Did you ever try going over to a colleague and saying to a colleague, I had a dream last night. It was a really long dream, and I'm going to tell it to you. And what does your friend say? Oh, I'm so sorry. I promised myself that I would do my shopping now. Or, I'm so sorry. I can't stay here right now because I have a long list of things that I have to do. What happens when you tell a child, I have a really long story to tell you. I had a dream and it's really long. What does the child say? Is it really long? A child loves a story. So what the chinuch is saying is that the child is incidental to the mitzvah. The chinuch isn't understanding this the way all the other Rishonim do. The other Rishonim understand this is the core narrative of the Jewish people, and it is not up, it's not up to the teacher, it's not up to the rabbi, it is up to the parent to transmit this story to the child as his own story. This is my story, and I want to tell it to you. The chinuch understands exactly the opposite. The chinuch understands the only one who's going to have the patience to sit and to listen to the parent tell the story. I don't mean give another chidush. I mean, that's what's so important. And when our Seder in our home changed quantitatively when our first grandchild became 3 years old. Because for years, once our children had reached high school age, we were all about chidushim, and suddenly the Seder became, once again, a Seder in which the point is to tell a story to the child. Telling a story to the child doesn't mean great chidushim. You can do that later. But it means telling a story. The chinuch says the point of this story is that when we articulate something, it affects us. We develop a sense of wonderment. And maybe that's what Rav Nachman was trying to do in saying, Avda de mefik marei lecherut v'yihid lekaspa udahava. He was trying to demonstrate to the other people who were sitting at the Seder with the sense of wonderment. You know, they're looking at a slave and the penny drops. That's what we were. We were slaves. And we were freed. And you contemplate your own sense of freedom. The chinuch says, when you tell the story, it percolates inward. And so the point is that every single Jew should have a part in articulating the story and telling the story. If you ask what should be going on at your Seder, the answer is everybody there should have a part in having the opportunity to internalize by means of their adding something, by means of their speculating. It doesn't have to do with halachic wisdom. It has to do with internalizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us this evening. And if you, the chinuch goes on to say, and that's the basis for our faith in God. Now if you look at number 22, Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says as follows in Pri Tzadik. I'll say this orally before I read it. Reb Tzadok says, it's not just the Manishtana that's a question. The Seder has other parts where you have question and answer. Matzazo she'anu ochlim al shum ma al shum shelo hispik betzeikam shel avoteinu lahachmitz. Maror ze she'anu ochlim al shum ma al shum shemeiru hamitzrim et chayenu. We have question and answer. Why do we eat this matzah? Because our forefathers' dough did not have a chance to sour. Why do we eat this maror? Because question and answer. Bagmara lechem oni she'onim alav dvarim harbei. Matzah is called the bread of affliction, but it's a play on words in Hebrew because oni also means response, the bread of response. Because we answer many things. V'hainu she'tzarech liyot derech she'ela u'tshuva. Haben sho'el ma nishtana v'aviv m'shivo ma she'nemar b'no sho'alo ishto sho'alto v'im lav hu sho'el atzmo. The evening needs to be Socratic. It needs to be question and answer. The son asks, the wife asks, the person asks himself. V'chein b'ma'amar Rabban Gamliel matzah she'anu ochlim al shum ma v'chulei maror al shum ma ve'ein orim matzah stam matzah she'anu ochlim al shum shelo nispik. Rak derech she'ela u'tshuva. Haynu she'balayla tzarich ha'adam la'argish v'nafsho chadshut. That is because on this evening, a person must feel within his soul a sense of newness, a sense of freshness. And I think that what Rav Tzadok is saying is that if there's a question, and particularly if there's a question that's not a rehearsed question, an authentic question, what do you have to do in order to answer? You have to think. An authentic question you can't just answer. An authentic question you have to think about. And by asking questions that night, we cause a sense of arousal, a sense of awakening, a sense of religious freshness in our hearts. And that's what's supposed to take place, Leil HaSeder. We're supposed to emerge from Leil HaSeder with a sense of religious freshness. So I want to wish everyone either of the two readings that we've had of the purpose of this evening. Either that this evening should be the evening of real transmission. And we don't always have our children at the Seder, we don't always have our grandchildren at the Seder. But that when we do, this should be an evening of transmission of the core narrative of Klal Yisrael from generation to generation. And alternately, that this should be an evening, and perhaps both, of real religious freshness for everyone. Chag Kasher v'Sameach.